guys. Welcome back to the Rock Rewind Review. I'm Jay.
And I'm Jared.
And we're here to talk about bands that should have made it.
Should have.
But did not.
Unfortunately, it seems to be a lot like that.
Yeah, and it's kind of unfortunate because they were really talented and it, for some reason, just did not work out. But yeah, we're going to get into it. We got four bands to cover. We're going to do it. And we're gonna see what you guys think, and if you guys know these bands or if you're fans of them or have any other information, feel free to hit us up at the Rock Rewind Review at gmail.com or any of our socials. Just type in the Rock Rewind Review, you will find us. And yeah, I think Jared has maybe the first one we're gonna talk about.
Yeah, so we're gonna talk about a band, Second Coming. And we have one of their songs that we're going to preview for.
Yeah, that's a really good band. Quickly, but that's a good band.
Yeah, they have a pretty big discography too, but at the same time, it's a little lackluster in terms of, I feel like, what they could have put out, and that could have to do with their lack of, I don't want to say lack of success, but lack of commercial success.
Okay, and we're not going to really get into the weeds too much of why it didn't work out or, you know, the inner workings of each band. But
well, I think it's important to just point out too that a lot of bands that don't make it, it's not a skill issue.
No.
Like, all of these bands, technically, the sound, all of it, are great. We like all of them, and I don't think you can say that any of them didn't deserve to make it. It's just, it's an interesting topic, like the beast of
the music industry.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, technically, sonically, lyrically. Like, Second Coming's one of my favorite bands. They really only had, like, the one record, but I still listen to it. Yeah. And and I think it's great. And so I think their real banger was Soft from, I guess, is this sort of like their second?
Yeah, the second
album. Second sort of record?
Yep.
But their most, I guess,
most playtime on the radio by far.
Right. And I do remember hearing this on the radio, and that's, you know, at the time. When did this get released?
I'd have to check on the exact years, but I think late 90s.
Yeah, I'm gonna say 98.
Yeah. That sounds about right. And again, listeners can correct us. We always encourage that.
The Rock Rewind Review at gmail.com, correct us. We're gonna go in. This is the Second Coming Soft. Here we go. You guys kind of heard it. I think Jared's gonna tweak the story a little bit.
Well, I don't know about tweaking the story. I might just give my two cents on it. And
perfect.
Again, I have to start off with saying that from a technical level, from all levels, I think they're an awesome band. I love how heavy that starts.
Yeah, and that was their, I guess, first kind of radio hit or whatever. And I think at the time, I mean, even still, like, that, what's, you got the lead singer's name there somewhere?
That was one of the things I was going to bring up, too, is I think a big issue with a lot of bands is continuity. So they didn't have the same lead singer back to back.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, at least on this record, I don't know what his name is, but this guy's voice is absolutely insane. And I own this CD. I bought it at that time. Yeah. I still have it. It's on regular rotation, you know, in my headphones. And I think this guy's got one of the greatest voices of this century. And
it's very recognizable.
Rock.
If he grew up big,
absolutely
came up really big, like that'd be such a recognizable voice. And it's very like, it's very of its era. It's very unmistakably 90s.
Yeah. And I don't know why, whatever, they got wrecked. And I don't want to speculate on that. And I think maybe you had something about there was different members and some struggles and some other stuff, but we don't want to get too much into the weeds about it.
Well, so yeah, they only had two consistent members on every album. And I do think that hurts bands more than anything is not having consistency and continuity in their members and their music. So even though we said we weren't going to speculate a whole lot on why any of these bands didn't make it, I think that is a problem, at least with them, is a constant bringing in and letting go of faces and different faces. And, you know, with any band, everybody has their favorite member or their favorite couple members. And that's not to say, like, you don't like the rest of the people, but if your favorite member of a band or anything really goes out the door, it can be hard to want to stay with them and follow them as much. And I do think, you know, that was a constant problem that this band was plagued with.
No, yeah, and I would agree as well. It is a good band. It's unfortunate that I wish I could have heard more from them.
Yeah, definitely. But it's always sad when you have a band you really fuck with, but they don't have as much as you'd want to.
We didn't. The industry sent them to hell.
Yeah.
So I guess off to number two. This is a band, it came out like right around the same time. I think they had something in 94, which I wasn't aware of. Again, nobody has the internet in their pocket at that time. They can't just look it up and figure it out. I didn't really hear it till 97 on like the local rock channel. And, so that record was their second one. It's called The Devil You Know. And it went platinum in Canada. Mm. These guys are from Vancouver, British Columbia. They formed in 92. Took them like 5 years. But they got a platinum record in 97.
Yeah. And they had to scoff at.
Yeah. And then the record that came out, I think their first single was like All That You Are, which is a fine song. But I don't really think it showcases like
their talent, their real like capability.
And it doesn't showcase what I liked about them, mm-hmm. which if you listen to All That You Are, you can check them out anywhere on YouTube or whatever. We're not going to play 15 songs from this band. But it's a kind of line crush, All That You Are. But the real banger to me was Surefire. And that was on EMI Canada. And the whole record, The Devil You Know, it charted. And Surefire was the banger on that one, was their like single. And it charted at 18 in Canada. Unfortunately, it didn't even make the chart in the U.S., which I didn't live in Canada when I heard that song. And I was like, I can't wait for this to come on again. But again, like, there's no internet. I can't just listen to it whenever I want. I had to just like drive around in the car and like wait.
Hope. Yeah.
Yeah, and hope it comes on. And then it just, at that time, it just depends on the DJ if they like that song.
Right.
So
and lucky.
Right, so yeah, it's a kind of like crush. It's Surefire. It's a fantastic song, and we're going in. So you guys heard the hook, and that's pretty much the story of life, right? It's never enough. Never enough. So we heard these guys, 97, they came out, and yeah, but I mean, so it's kind of, it's kind of funny. Go ahead, Jared. What do you got?
So you said 97 they came out, but that's, I thought you said that's when you were hearing about them at first. They were around for a while longer?
Yeah, they came out, I guess they formed in 92. They may have done some stuff locally, but we didn't hear them here in the States. Again, they're from British Columbia. So I was driving to school one day in 1997, and then my senior year of high school.
Just one time? Or did they
I heard the song, and then, like, so for whatever reason, then they, I read somewhere, and listeners, correct us if I'm wrong, they had some sort of weird fan club, like, in, like, West Virginia or something. Yeah. But, like, I went to school right there, like, college in, you know, the crack of Ohio.
Yeah, yeah.
In between Ohio and West Virginia. And for whatever reason, I ended up seeing these guys in, like, probably 99. This is some small venue, and they literally blew the roof off the dump. But, like, I'd already known these guys for, like, 2 years. Like, I found their CD in some used CD store, and like, it had been in rotation, you know, my beat-up Honda or whatever.
Yeah.
And we've talked about that car.
Oh, yeah.
And it was great. But you know, so I guess in 95, they came out with the record Affliction. 97 was The Devil You Know. 98, they dropped that single Surefire that we just heard. It charted at 18 in Canada. And this is, like, what gets me is a why they never made it. They were on tour with, like, Kiss, Foo Fighters, Green Day. Right. And then so, you know, a couple years later, they re-released that on a U.S. label called Restless Records, right? And you might have heard of them. They got, you can look it up in your free time. They got a lot of people that you've heard of, a lot of big
names.
Bands. Yeah, exactly. So then in 98, they're on tour with Stabbing Westward, which was kind of the same vein as A Kind of Line Crush, but I don't know if they were, like, bigger. But there's a really cool podcast that I heard the other day, and they did interview the singer for Stabbing Westward, and the podcast is Dig Me Out, and it's episode 588. I'll shout him out. The singer is Christopher Hall. He's the singer from Stabbing Westward. If you've never heard of Stabbing Westward, I challenge you, check him out. I don't think it's industrial. A lot of people do. You can listen to the interview for yourself, and you can determine it. But that's Dig Me Out podcast, episode 588. It's great.
It's always weird to me how a band isn't always able to make that jump from, like, mainline Canada to mainline America, because you would get the cultural differences in a lot of other countries, but it's always interesting how you aren't able to make that jump. I mean, they sounded like they were so big in Canada and only had a little spurt of relevance around here. It's weird.
Yeah, and it was only for, like, a couple of years, and it was, I mean, they were great, but I don't know. Then we didn't really hear a lot from them. I think the last thing they did was the Rally for Recovery in Calgary in 2017, and, like, the lead singer talks about, like, his own recovery. I mean, that's great. I mean, it's a whole other journey, and, like, people go down those roads, and they got to figure it out.
Yeah, especially in music, it seems to be a huge issue across all forms and genres is, you know, unfortunately, drug use and overuse. But
yeah, and we don't know what that is, and we're not going to speculate on that either. But
of course not. But
point is, he wanted to do that show in 2017, and he wanted to give back and tell his story, and he did. And you can find that online, and just as we did. So, but yeah, so that's what I have. And with that, I think we're going to take a break.
And we'll be back discussing more. We have two more bands that, you know, unfortunately didn't make it, but deserve to. And, you know, give them their time in the shine here.
Give them their shout outs right now. So don't forget to check us out on Twitter at Triple R Podcast. And you can also find us on the Rock Rewind Review.com, the Rock Rewind at gmail.com.
And we also have our Instagram in rotation now, too.
We do. And that is?
Official Rock Rewind Review.
Okay. There you have it. All right, guys. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back and get right back into the last two. Maybe we'll have some news as well. Hey guys, welcome back to the Rock Rewind Review. I'm Jay.
And I'm Jared.
And we're going to follow up with the last two of the four bands that we think... Never quite made it from the late 90s, early 2000s. And we already covered a couple, but I think Jared's got something we're going to come in with.
Yep, so the next band is Hurt. They started right in the turn of the century, the year 2000, out of Virginia. And, you know, just like all the other bands, they're not massive. I mean, we're not covering nobodies. Everybody has, you know, their own niche and their own fans that we're playing. And you can easily find them. They're not impossible to find. And I do still think they all have their relevance in the culture.
Right. And, I mean, these are bands we kind of both dug up. And, like, they're great. And for whatever reason, we only really kind of heard, like, a couple of songs from them. Maybe they had a record that was great. Maybe they only had one song, but whatever it is, I mean, it's been some time and we're still talking about them. So
yeah, they have some relevance.
Yeah. So I think Jared was talking about Hurt and this one is called Rapture. And we're going in right now. So there it is. You guys can look it up in your free time. Hurt, Rapture. I mean, it's kind of a long song. It's almost 5 minutes. So, to me, I don't know. This was Jared's song, so it's not up to me. So,
yeah, it's definitely a little bit of a... I think it's the newest song and band on that list, honestly. And I definitely like the sound. I definitely think it's not a bad thing, but it sounds not the more commercial out of all four of them, but the most, like... a casual listener could get into it. It's not as hard and as heavy as all the other ones. I think it's a nice...
True.
I think it's just a nice song, all in all. It's easy to put on. It's easy to listen to.
Yeah, it's great. And, well, I guess I can rewind it a bit. I'd listen to that whole... I actually own it. And it is... Overall, it's a good record. We're not here to talk about whole records. We're just, you know, what's the banger of a... of a song that from a band that didn't really make it and for whatever reason is beyond our control or beyond our scope and beyond what we want to talk about. I will correct you so the listeners won't have to.
Please do.
That is not the most recent band that didn't make it that we're going to talk about today.
Really?
Yeah, we have another one. It's called Future Leaders of the World. Hmm. But we'll get to that. So well,
interestingly
more,
enough, too, from...
more on Hurt.
Yeah, so...
Go for it.
It's weird. I didn't even know this, and I just did it in some of our digging, but I guess as early or as recent as 2017, they were teasing something on their Facebook page.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know what that is necessarily supposed to mean, too, either, because they're not technically retired, either, or, like, you know, bands call it quits.
Sure.
They haven't fully done that yet, and as of, you know, 5 years ago, they were still teasing something, and then just never... came up on it. So I don't know if what their idea is. I don't know if they're still technically an active band. I mean, I wouldn't call them that because it's been so long since they've dropped stuff, but it's weird to me to take such a long hiatus and then tease something.
Yeah, I mean, it's been some time and I don't, at least wherever I was at the time, like they didn't play anything. They didn't play out like close to me because I would have went to it because I really enjoy that song. And like I said, like I just kind of stumbled upon that, you know, in the early 2000s. And I was like, wow, this is like great. And then they were kind of secretive about it. And some part of me thought it was like, Was this some like weird like side project from Tool or something like that? Because it's very similar to that. Like even like the video, you could see.
Video definitely.
Yeah, and it's, but it's a good song on its own. But never really saw them come around. Never heard anything from them.
Yeah, bit of a question mark on them.
Yeah. Yeah, and listeners, if you know more, please feel free to, you know, hit us up, rockrewindreview@gmail.com. And I think the last one we're going to talk about is, maybe you guys know, it's Future Leaders of the World. So we have something on them. What do you want? You want to bring up the song first, you think?
Why don't we play it and then talk about it? Change okay. up the batting order a little bit on
them. Yeah. Sounds great. And we're going to go in with it.
I found some peace tonight. Grip my teeth and swallow all my pain and selfish crying. I
All right, guys, that's Future Leaders of the World. You heard the hook. You can search it out in your free time. Out of this list of four that Jared and I just covered, I truly feel like this is the best song and the biggest missed mark of maybe the music industry or whatever at that time. And I think they had plenty of skill. And I don't know what happened. I've seen some live stuff of theirs, and it was absolutely fantastic.
I can agree with that. I think this is definitely the best song out of all four of them.
Yeah.
Even biased out of it, like technically, it sounds the best.
Yeah, I mean, I'll put it up a little bit higher underneath, but you can kind of listen to it. But yeah, I mean, they formed in 2003 in Little Rock. I think it's all Roman numerals, but I think it's Level 4 that they released in 2004. And then It's funny. So it actually charted.
Okay. On American Billboards?
It did. Billboard Top 200 at 153. Like, that's not number one.
Respectable, though.
Right, but you're on the chart. Yeah. And, like, it's like, what the fuck? And then, so, you know, the singer, Phil Taylor, like, he, I don't know. He's, like, a lot of stuff. And then there's some stuff in 2009. They tried to like
come back,
a little bit. They had a three track, you know, I guess EP called Delirium. And then they had an acoustic version of this song, Let Me Out, which is amazing. I've heard that. We're not going to hear it here on the show. You can, search that out in your free time. But yeah, I mean, I think they're really good.
Yeah.
And
not only do I think biasedly that I like them out of all four, they seem like out of all four, they could have had the most success from a commercial standpoint.
Yeah. And it's funny because doing the research for this actual show, like I was surprised to see Little Rock, which is Arkansas for our international listeners. I had in my head, they were like Florida Man.
I could see that.
I thought they were Florida. But I don't know. I mean, it might have been misreported. I mean, again, this is sort of old, right? So maybe they claimed
word of mouth early, mid-2000s.
Right. So maybe they claimed Florida at one point or somebody that repped them or maybe just a friend of mine was like, oh, yeah, they're from Florida, bro. And
yeah, I love that. Just right. Hearing some bullshit from your friend back in the day. I'll take that as the absolute truth for a decade of my life.
And I'll tell you a story. The first time I heard this was 100% by accident. So I was in the Air Force and we had mandatory urinalysis, right? So it's based on your social security number. It's completely random. And so I ran into a guy that was on my flight that's in my unit. His name was Chuck. And we were both there at the same time. And anyways, we were both there at the same time. And he had like a Kia Rio, like this little teeny tiny car. It was like a 2005.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, man, can I borrow your car? I'm going to run down to wherever, get some water. I need to pee. Right? He's like, yeah, sure. So I started his car up. It was this song.
Really?
And I was like, Chuck, what are you listening to, dude? He's like, oh, yeah, it's Future Leaders of the World. That's Florida, bro. And he was from Florida. So it made sense.
It's interesting. It's interesting how people just claim a sound of music as their own, too. Not even in a hostile way, either. It's just like...
Yeah, but that's... I just borrowed somebody's car randomly that was a friend of my, a coworker.
And good music, had to ask him.
Yep, that's what was on. And I was like, dude, I cranked it all the way up. I don't think you have speakers left. Well, because it was a Kia. And
blew out his little Kia.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Kias back in the day weren't that great. So, yeah, I think that's that covers all four bands that we think...
Deserve more.
Never really made it to commercial or critical acclaim. And, yeah, I think that's...
The industry is a hell of a beast.
Yeah, that's why we do this.
Yeah.
Well, because we're untalented, at least at music.
Well, those who can't do teach, I guess. Not that we're teaching, but...
That's true. So, Jared, I guess we got some news, right?
Yeah, we got some very special in-house news.
And what is that?
So, I'm sure our viewers and we...
Listeners. On an audio...
Right.
...only format.
Getting my formats messed up. But I'm sure our listeners and us fondly remember our guest from last episode. How could you not? I mean...
From what the metrics say...
Everybody says.
And from what I've heard and what I've got as far as feedback...
Everybody loved Mel.
Yeah.
Couldn't get enough of him.
They're saying that Mel needs a permanent place on the show.
And I, you know, we think that's... our views are very much in line with the listeners on a lot of things, and I think this is another thing.
But I think you have to earn it. Mm. You can't just buy it.
Oh, I think that's fair.
So I think there's a job interview here.
Oh, yeah. A little baptism by fire, so to speak.
Yeah, maybe some news. Because we talked about news, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, before the break.
A little bit. So I think everyone's going to be ecstatic to hear we brought Mel back.
And she's going to do the news.
A little bit of news for us. So.
And then we're going to have a little Q&A with Mel.
Yeah.
Like a mini job interview.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. And I think well-earned from that first episode.
Well, that's true, but also not guaranteed. No, so, no. Listeners...
Tell us what you think.
In the comments. Hit us up.
We do this show for you guys, so...
That's right.
You know, if you don't
think that she answered correctly, it's based on you guys. It's based on the listeners, if she gets a job or not. Yeah. But she's gonna try.
I think she's gonna kill it.
I don't know.
You don't know? You're a little more shaky?
It's hers to lose. I'll say
that. It's hers to win, too, though, so...
That's true. But we'll see. And so...
All that being said...
The news...
With Mel.
Hi, everybody. I'm back. Who'd have thought? Who'd have thought? All right. So when I was tasked with my baptism by fire to do the news, I just picked out what I found interesting. So if you don't, bear with me and I won't be back because you won't have hired me. So here we go. Couple things. And it's funny that I was actually listening to the radio the other day and this band came across and played a song I hadn't heard in years. But what's exciting is that Morrissey, hear me out, has announced a fall tour of the U.S. and it kicks off in October, which, if you know, is next month. Secondly, another band that I just thought of the other day was Modest Mouse, and they are selling their old used equipment on Reverb, which, if you don't know, is an online marketplace specifically for new, used, and vintage musical gear, or music gear, as it were.
So, okay.
And that is going to start September 21st.
And that's just like a bidding war type thing? Like eBay, but for music?
Yeah, specifically for music instruments, amps, guitars, all of it. Everything that you would need.
And Modest Mouse is selling their stuff on some like regular shit that I could sell my stuff on.
Yeah, it's Reverb. Cool. You could have your own store there. It's like a flea market, but...
Like an online
flea eBay, market. It's eBay, but for... music only.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. It's actually interesting just to go on there. You probably get some good deals.
I mean, if you need music equipment, seems like the place to go.
Not sponsored.
No, they're not, but they could be. Yeah. I understand that.
Oh, okay. So third, and you know, now that we're into football season full-fledged, the sidebar, it's just football season. Everybody calm down. But in the halftime show of the game on September 8th, there was Ozzy Osbourne performed at the LA Rams versus the Buffalo Bills game. And this man is looking to tour again, despite various health concerns, which include hand surgery, upper respiratory illness in 2019, all kinds of things. And he just recently released his 13th solo album on September the 9th. So like literally the day following the day he had performed at the football game. So,
right, so shout out LA.
Anytime you say football, it makes people listen, apparently.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you got me. Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan's a girl. Let's get it. The best ever to be on the mic. Guaranteed.
Okay. I'm not going to debate that. All right. So the next piece of news is a bit of a downer. And I've never heard of this band, so excuse my ignorance. But RIP to David Anderson, who died at the age of 47. He was a member of Soilwork.
Oh, rip.
Yeah, not good. So, moment of silence there for him.
It's unfortunately young.
47 is pretty young, considering that, yeah, well, two of us here are in our 40s anyway. Second to last, a band called Corrosion of Conformity.
That's on my Mount Rushmore of bands.
Well, then you're going to like this. They announced that they are going to start touring in November. And they're doing this to support their latest album, which was actually released in 2018, called No Cross, No Crown.
Oh, yeah.
So, if you're interested.
Well why? Okay, so you might not have this information, and it's fine. But why did they release an album in 2018, but they're just now, 4 years later, touring about it?
Take a guess and say COVID.
Right.
That's one reason.
That's definitely one reason I would have to dig deeper.
Okay. Well, there's that.
Yeah. Well, I can go back to my source and...
Field correspondent.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. And then last but not least, and most exciting and close to home, is that, as we all know, this Saturday, September the 17th, Clutch, Helmet, Quicksand, etc. are performing at Hammerjack's downtown Baltimore.
Oh my God.
Yes. And Clutch, in doing this, is celebrating the release of their new album, which is called Sunrise on Slaughter Beach. And to celebrate this, it is going to be live streamed on YouTube.
That's pretty cool. So you can just
tune
in and watch.
Yeah. So you can either go online, Hammerjack's, and get tickets for $39.50 per, or you can log on to YouTube and watch the live stream starting at 10 p.m.
For free.
Yes. Yes. There is a space for you to do that. So that's the news in my world that I shared with you related to the music world.
Shout out J2, and our listeners will know who that is. I'm gonna go one bigger than that.
You got a bigger piece of news, you think?
I think so. So when was the show? It's like Saturday.
Yes,
right?
It's Saturday the 17th. Yes. Doors at Hammerjack's.
Hammerjack's. Doors open
6:30.
Well, Hammerjack's has moved. I don't really know where that is. So I guess I'll do this. Jared, Mel, you can disagree with me. The first person that retweets Clutch Hammerjack tickets and tags us on Twitter gets 2 free tickets.
Ooh. It's big right there.
What do you think?
That's money savings right there. Oh, yeah.
That's the reason
there. Is it worth it?
I think so. Certainly worth it from the listener's point of view.
Yeah, I think so too.
Definitely.
So yeah, if you want in, first person to hit us up, Triple R Podcast on Twitter, with Hammerjacks.
Just mention Hammerjacks in the show and how you want the tickets, and
yeah, they're yours. Or you can email us at therockrewindreview.com. I'm sorry, you can, but therockrewindreview@gmail.com. And the first person to do that, the tickets are yours.
Sounds like a plan.
Two free tickets.
Oh yeah,
two free tickets.
Can't be free.
I mean, Clutch is great, but I think Helmet might be better. That's just me. James, if you're listening, this is for you, buddy.
Here we go, James.
He's our unsung hero. And that's the name of the song. Alright guys, so you heard it first on the Rock Rewind Review. That is Saturday, September 17th at the New Hammerjacks. I have no idea. I've never been there. I don't know what it means, but doors open at what time?
6:30.
So yeah, I'm sure there's some something to
It'll
drink
be a
down
good
there.
Time.
It's gonna be a good time. So
hit us up on Twitter.
Well, you have a day. Basically like 30 hours to get in on that. Either on Twitter or hit us on the email. Tickets are yours.
Act quick.
And we'll deliver for you.
Yes, sir.
There's that. So, I think we had more news somewhere. What do you guys think? There's bigger news. There's bigger news.
Is there? You might have to re-indulge us and tell us what you're thinking.
So, we heard Mel back for the news, but why is she here?
We were thinking of bringing her on a regular.
I got to essentially try out for this team by doing the news, Baptism by Fire.
We were also going to do a little interview, too.
Which I think was great, but so there was an overwhelming, so to rewind it, there was an overwhelming
outcry of support and love for Mel, because she really did.
From our listeners.
A great show.
She knocked it out of the park.
Oh, yeah. She hung around for the whole thing. I mean, she easily could have done her little 10 minutes and left us here. And
adios.
Decided to never come over again. But
right.
Something in her mind wanted her to come back, and her fans certainly did. So
she got beat up pretty good about the checkbooks, and then I said I was going to plug the sink and turn it on, and she can't swim. And, well, it is what it is.
But she stuck to her guns.
Right. But she's back. The listeners really wanted you here.
Oh, yeah.
And so here you are. So you did the news. That was a part of the job interview, but now this is a real one. So we got a couple questions for you.
Okay, so that was the like prepped piece. This is the
off the cuff.
The improv situation. Okay, all right. I'm down.
So we can see how you really act.
Well, yeah, I think I do better improv than I do scripted anyway.
Well, the news was pretty good.
Yeah. It was what it was interesting to me. There was obviously other stuff out there, but...
Well, I definitely find it interesting that they have an entire website just for musical equipment and anyone can go off there. I mean, that's definitely cool. What you said about Ozzy Osbourne, but people would... If he just went up on stage, people would stare at him for 2 hours.
Well, one of the...
I'm shocked.
I'm just going to paraphrase one of the quotes that I glossed over when I was doing my research is that he said... Something along the lines of his greatest love affair is with his fans. So, like, if he can't perform live, it kind of takes away from why he ever did it.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Well, just like us, do it for the fans. I mean, you wouldn't have anything without the fans. I mean, you might still make music just to blow off some steam, but no artist can say they do it only for themselves or only to make music. You make it for the love of your fans.
Well, and I think, too, that live music allows the artist to communicate in a way that they can't when it's, you know, recorded and we push play at this point whenever we want, whereas that's a live, that's a moment, that's a memory that's right. created by the experience.
Right. The artist truly makes or breaks.
Yeah. That they're giving you. Yeah.
True. True. So with that, are you ready for your interview?
Oh, I'm ready.
All right. I think.
Let's do the damn thing.
Who wants to go first? Jared, you want to go first? You want me to go first?
Yeah. Well, we have some prepared questions that we think would put the heat on you a little bit.
Oh, and my.
Hot seat.
Oh, yeah. And I wanted to know, what was your first real core memory with music? I mean, everybody, you know, you listen to whatever your grandpa or your uncle or your dad or your mom or whoever puts on as a kid.
Yeah, the genre is irrelevant. It doesn't matter.
When you're sitting in a car, you're kind of, you know, up until maybe 11 or 12, you're just told, shut up and listen. But what's your first memory either finding or hearing a sound where you were like, I think this is for me?
Well, see, at the beginning of your question where you were talking about like where we get our likes and dislikes of music and where our comfort zone is, I was definitely thinking about like riding in the car with my father. You know, he had an Oldsmobile 1977 442. Mm-hmm. And
ooh, nice.
With an 8-track player. And
hell yeah.
And he was a big fan of Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Okay.
And John Fogerty and 3/4 scale guitars. That's nice.
And so now that my father has passed, like that's something that we shared, that moment. And then when I hear those songs, it immediately brings me back to that place. And I bought that CD. I didn't have an 8-track player, so I couldn't borrow daddy's. Right. But I bought the CD, and that's something that, you know, when I want to connect with my father, that's something that I'll put on to this day. But in terms of, like, what I like to listen to, like, what, who's my thing?
There's no wrong answer. There's no wrong genre.
Even just genre. Even if you don't have band names, just what's that kind of sound, that all-encompassing sound that you always tend to be pulled towards?
It's probably classic rock, what we call classic rock. Like, I'm a huge Led Zeppelin fan. Like, that is something that, like, when I need to scream or I need to laugh or I need to cry, there's something in
that cathartic emotion.
Yeah,
that
there's
comes out.
There's something in their music that speaks to me. One of my favorite songs to run to is Kashmir. One, it's long as hell, and two, the beat in it helps me keep my tempo. So like, I rely on them for a lot of different things, a lot of different aspects of my life.
It's interesting you bring up the length with the song too, because I definitely say when I'm wanting to feel emotions, it can be annoying to jump around. It's nice to put on one long track and not have to think about what you're going to play next and just let your emotions flow through you. It's an important thing to do, to is processing your emotions. And I do think music allows us to process our emotions and what we're feeling in a way that is easier and better than any other way, really.
I feel like so far I've done better than the contestants on the Miss America pageant in answering these questions, by the way.
Oh, 100%.
Well, there's a reason for that.
Next question.
I got one.
Okay.
Yeah. Why do you want to be here? Why do you want to do this? We're sort of forced by the listeners to even entertain this.
Not that we don't want to, but.
Well, I'm entertaining it. So we'll see. We'll see.
Well, it's more not that we don't want you here, but you got to convince the listeners that you should be here too, not just us.
Okay. First of all, my understanding of your question is, why do I want to be a part of the Rock Rewind review?
Yeah.
Is that what
correct.
You're saying?
And correct. I just mean, you're not trying to just convince us to, you got to convince the listeners too.
And let me just go ahead and stop everybody before you give your answer, Mel. This is a paid position. So her employment is based on the listeners and her answers, and your answers can be read out loud on The Rock Rewind review at Gmail. So if you think mail needs, just thumbs up, thumbs down. That's all you got to do. We'll count the thumbs. We'll pile them up.
No thumb left uncounted.
No thumb left uncounted. And I'll leave it back to you, Mel, to answer the question. I can read it back to you if you'd like.
No, I believe what you stated was, why do I want to be a part of the podcast,
Correct. The Rock Rhyme Review?
Yep. So my answer to that would be, I think that my lack of knowledge or my position as the layman,
ignorance.
We weren't going to go that direction, but okay. My lack of knowledge in certain genres and, you know, getting exposure to things that I ignored during my lifetime and things I didn't know existed in terms of music and just the influence that music has and the artists that have on each other, I think is also interesting. Like the web that is woven by the industry and the people that come and go from it. Just looking at, like, when you were talking about the bands that, quote-unquote, didn't make it with the turnover in the band and how that speaks to what they were looking for and what they couldn't find and how they were trying to find their sound, I think all of that is interesting, and I think a music has a lot to do with the human dynamic. So I'm a learner. I like to learn. I like to be exposed to new things. And so this is a friendly venue where I can do that. So yeah. Thank you, everyone who's on my side and on Team Mel.
You're absolutely right. And that was a good answer.
I think it's a really solid. It kind of brings in, like, to use another term, I think you use in comedy a lot, like you kind of like the straight man of the group, where, you know, it's easier for someone casual to be overwhelmed by me and Jay and us talking about these really niche things. And it's good to have someone from a point of view that, you know, might not know as much, and they can kind of...
Of ignorance?
I wouldn't say ignorance as much as
funny.
Yeah. I mean you're right, but at the same time I feel like ignorance is a choice nowadays, and she's making the choice to, you know, come here and be a part of it, and it makes an average music listener easier to see things from your point of view.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think I give people that don't know as much a connection to the show. Yeah. Like, you don't have to be
a nerd,
the smartest person in the room, to have an anchor here.
Yeah, totally.
In this ship.
Yeah, it's easier. Like I said, it's easier to get overwhelmed by me and Jay spewing a bunch of, really eclectic knowledge, and it's easier to, like, see it from your point of view. I think that makes a really good point.
No, and I agree, and that's what the listeners said, and, like, some comments that we heard, and, like, you need to get her on the show, like, as a permanent, like, you know, three-piece.
Third wheel?
Third wheel.
Oh, yeah.
We used to have a third string, but now we have a third wheel.
Sweet.
Her name's Mel. And
well, not confirmed yet. We're still in the interview process.
The listeners have to agree. Right. Thumbs up, thumbs down. We'll count the thumbs. And we'll see what happens. Everybody's got emojis.
Next question.
Moving on.
Well, so I had what I think could lead to quite a fun little discussion is, what was your worst experience with live music? Because as much as this show is based in facts and, you know, we talk about things that happened to real bands, you know, it's 50% us too. And I want to hear your ability to tell us a good story, paint us a good picture. What is the worst encounter you've had at a live venue?
Okay, so I'm going to age myself here, and that's fine. So in 1996, I'm in 11th grade.
Fuck.
Yep. And there's a festival that was held annually at the old RFK Stadium. And it was called the HF Festival. 99.1 HFS was the radio station that put this on. So it's the HF Festival.
A little play on words.
Yeah. And so there would be a series of, you know, various artists that would come in. And in 1996, which was my first time at the festival, it rained.
Oh.
It's not, so the venue is not covered.
Oh.
Unless you're in the very, very top section. And RFK is old. It's the old Redskins stadium. Can I say that? It was the Commanders now.
Commanders.
But at the time it was, and the whole place literally shakes.
Really?
The stairs, the seating, like it's sketch from the get, because like everything is shaking.
An old stadium not being held together with duct tape and bubble gum.
Yeah. And so a variety of the performers either didn't perform because the rain and they didn't want to put their equipment out in it or whatever, or they would come on and try to perform and they were not able to because of various things that they had indulged in prior to. Oh. And so,
okay.
So they didn't sound at all.
I've been slowed down.
Yeah, they didn't sound at all like the expectation of, you know, what you paid money for. Mm. Now, again, it's 1996, and this is, you know, there wasn't, the tickets weren't that expensive because I could afford it as a junior in high school, but.
Still, you go to see live music. You want to see live music.
So it's rainy. It's, the venue is shaking. Some of the bands didn't perform because of the weather. Others couldn't perform because of choices they made. And then what it became was a absolute debacle and shit show of all of these younger people who, because nothing else is going on, just get annihilated themselves. And people were falling and people were, and like the rain, it was just absolutely the worst. There was no structure. I don't know. It was just chaos in a concert, and it was just unsatisfactory.
A muddy, rainy house party is what it turned into.
It was bad. It was bad. But I went back a couple years later because The Cure was at the one I went to later. And I think Cypress Hill, maybe? Yeah.
That one went a little
Cypress Hill and
you.
The Cure.
I don't know if they were in the same show or not.
Odd setup.
Hey.
Hey, so the rainy one, who was there? Do you just remember the rain?
I just remember the rain. I remember, I think, I had a poncho.
I knew this was like going to be an all-day festival.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
How many HF bands festival. Actually played, would you say?
It's gonna be 20, probably.
I mean, there were smaller stages outside, as everybody kind of is aware that happens when you're at a festival. But it was bad. I mean, there were hour gaps,
really?
Like where nothing was happening, and then they would just play the music of the people that were supposed to perform, so that there wasn't just silence and people talking. Like it was.
Oh, that's horrible.
Well, because everybody there was no lightning or thunder because everybody
it's
thought.
It's like an arena.
Well, yeah.
It was a stadium show, like 20, 30,000 people, yeah. All probably
it was
under
like
the age
80,000.
Yeah.
All under the age of probably 30, getting, you know, pissed off and getting more and more inebriated. Yeah, I could see how that could be a rough time.
Yeah, and like, so they're playing the music of the people, but it was like.
You just remember the rain. Not anybody you saw.
Now, and my shoes got ruined, and like, I had to give my friend my coat, and it was just like.
Ugh, a shit show.
I'm ready to go.
I'm ready to go.
You bail
to
on that early?
Yeah.
Because that was
no,
like
we did not bail
story.
Out early because, well, the company I kept at the time wanted to stay.
Right. Yeah.
Well, there's that.
You said you were a junior year or something?
Junior
17
year.
17-year-olds don't ever want to go home. Rather be in the rain than home. Fuck
but
that.
But we did have Taco Bell and Wendy's on the way home. Mm. Two stops.
Dangerous.
Frosties with french fries dipped in, and then you got to have the Taco Supreme.
Oh, God.
Have to.
Yeah, Nacho Supreme. Taco Supreme, Cutlass Supreme.
We were in, oh God, it was the Ford that made the Topaz?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we were in. It was teal.
Mercury.
Okay, Topaz. We were in a Mercury Topaz. It was teal.
Just squad deep, seven, eight people.
I think it was six. I think we tapped out there, and then my other friend was in their neon. It was a black neon.
Oh. Horrible.
Sounds very 90s.
Yeah.
It sounds like the worst night I could probably imagine. But
yeah, but you know, you're 17. You probably still
have. I've had those same nights, the same exact night, but like in a Honda Civic. So it doesn't matter. It's the same shitty night.
You're with friends, but you still had a good time. I'm
yeah.
Sure, but.
Yeah, we got rained out. We went to see a show. It didn't work out. And you still talk to those people today, hopefully. Maybe. I don't know.
Nope.
Okay. Well, great.
Not a one.
I don't know if that benefits Mel and her interview process, but this is still all part of it. Is she benevolent and still talks to her friends from Wendy's and Taco Bell?
They're from a high school.
1996. Or does she not? It doesn't matter. I'm just being
facetious.
Sure.
Next question.
There aren't any more. That's it. The interview's over.
Oh, I thought you had a second question.
No.
Oh, my bad.
No, it was kind of already asked and answered.
Oh, okay.
So. Yeah, that's where we're at.
Well, I got one more then.
Well, then go for it.
Yeah, what are you looking forward to with working with us? Because I know we can be quite characters, and it can be hard, but you know, you seem to rock out with us. We all kind of had the same vibe on the first one. I know me and Jay's character can kind of be an acquired taste, but right away you seem to pick up as our vibe. So what are you looking forward to if you do get this job?
Like I said before, learning about things that I don't know about. I love to read. I love to learn. So that's like right up my alley. but also bring some, I don't know, class, as it were.
Some more refined culture.
Yeah. Bringing a voice of reason, although somebody else claimed to have it in our last show. But, yeah, the voice of reason. And I don't know. I think that, like you said, we vibe well. I think each one of us, you know, has something to offer. I don't know what that is yet for me. But we're going to find out if I get the job, which, who knows.
It's up to the listeners.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. Anything else you want to know?
I think that's all I got. Jared, you got anything?
I think that's it.
Well, Mel, if... I don't know.
I feel like I should, like, high school, I'm running for, like, class president. Like, vote for Mel.
Well, I was about to set you up for that, but you kind of got ahead of it.
See?
So,
see?
If you don't get the job, where can people find you if you want them to find you?
I don't want them to find me.
Then there's no wrong answer. All right, cool.
Mystery of the show.
Don't find Mel anywhere at all.
If you turn your back on me now, it's over. Just done. Like those people in 1996.
Damn,
we're no longer friends.
And the Dodge Neon. All right, great. So we're kind of doing these, like, I don't know, weird in-house songs. We got a new one. It's quite a departure from the last one. It's a little more, I don't know. Well, Jared, what would you say it is? It's not like electronica, but like...
I think we're nicknaming it 8-bit because it really does 8-bit? Remind
okay.
me of
okay, Jared says 8-bit. That's fine.
Kind of reminds me of those like mid-2000s, you know, early 90s, like Nintendo or like... early desktop video games you'd play.
So these
I vibe with it.
These are the songs you're creating in house that you want people to
do whatever they want.
So yep. Okay. So yep.
You want to remix it, freestyle over it, any type of, you know.
And we're gonna put these on the socials too, so people can find them. And please don't forget to vote for Mel
or not. You know, no pressure.
That she gets the job or doesn't get the job. To be honest, I'm not really a fan of it, but. The listeners have spoken, so I'm out of it.
No thumb left uncounted, like we said.
Yep.
Give us those
thumbs
votes.
Up, thumbs down. That's all you got to do.
Hey, if you don't have haters, you're not doing it right. So
damn straight.
Wow, I've heard that before somewhere.
Mm.
So anyway, gonna take you guys out with this, and again, we'll post this elsewhere.
Wait, don't we have something to say about the 5-star reviews or something?
Oh yeah,
Look at
that. She's already coming in clutch.
Go ahead. You brought it up. You say it.
Go to Patreon and...
Patreon.com.
Okay.
/ The Rock and Ron Review.
Okay, take it.
You can find
us
there.
Bring you in the hot seat.
If you want to donate money to the show.
Leave us a review.
That's what keeps it going. Leave us a review. You can find us right now just on, I think, Spotify. Some things have changed in the podcasting world, at least for us. We're getting there. We'll be there wherever you find podcasts. But until then, it's only Spotify.
Give us a 5-star review. Don't just give us a 5-star review, too. Write a little something. It can be anything. It can be words of encouragement, words of hate, maybe.
Vote for Mel.
Whatever it is. You have to write something, though, or it doesn't count. Like, their algorithm doesn't count just a 5-star review. And so with that, it's not that we just want the 5-star review. We do. But you have to write something, because for every 5-star review that we get... we donate $5 to a music scholarship for underprivileged children that want to make music that otherwise couldn't. And let's be honest, folks, if we don't invest in the future of music, we just won't fucking have any.
That's right.
And that's what we're here for. That's what we do. And that's what we care about. So get in there, like, subscribe, review.
5 stars.
5 stars.
Even if you don't like us. Think about the kids.
It's not 5 stars for us. It's 5 stars for the kids.
That's right.
So, and that's true. And you can look it up. It's like a legit 501c, so you can check it for yourself in your free time. So anyway, I think that's a wrap. We're gonna take it out with this. You guys feel free to
vote for Mel.
Drop whatever you want on the show.
Any final words, Mel?
No.
Good
night, everyone. Thanks.
Thank you.
And here we go.